Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not done yet. That's more like it. That's what the ballpark's supposed to look and sound like, and that's what the offense needs to look like. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and Luke Sloan on the updates. John, good morning.
Good morning. It was awesome because it wasn't just one inning. You weren't looking at an elimination game against the Guardians, and you had a hot sixth inning or a hot seventh inning. This was it. Now it took a little time to get warmed up.
Down 3-0.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 you tie it up.
No, not boom, boom, boom. What? Boom, boom, pow.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Sorry, that's right. Yes. Yes, sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. But it was, and then you think about the different moments, and we're going to ask a question of your favorite moment, but you have Kyle Finnegan that is put in one of the worst positions you could ever be put in. You come in, bases loaded, no outs, and you escape by only giving up one run. That was awesome. And then the offensive explosion, and whether it's the bottom of the fifth, bottom of the sixth, or it's the insurance runs that come after that, it was so much fun.
My favorite moment?
Yeah.
Sixth inning. Javier Baez.
Yep. Ditto.
Because at the time, it's still only a two-run game. And we've seen the Tigers blow some leads. The bullpen was going to be asked to do a lot of work because Casey Mize was pulled after three. Very controversial at the ballpark. A lot of the fans, even afterwards, well, come on, AJ, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know you're going to lean on your bullpen. You want some breathing room. And who else but the most clutch player on the team, the guy who's been their best player in the postseason, the player who's taken the most criticism and he deserved for a long time, steps up in the biggest moment and explodes that game open, right? He had the single to tie, but then he had the home run, and it was a majestic blast to give them a nice little four-run cushion.
And it is, he's been the most clutch in the postseason. He's such a unique story in Detroit because up until the beginning of this year, worst signing in the history of Detroit sports. Arguably, but not sure. A lot of argument.
Shortlist at the very least.
Right. And then, you know, he's Javier and not Javi. Then he goes back to Javi. And last year, and I was listening to Dan and Dan on the radio, and, you know, Dan Dickerson had talked about, you know, instead of coming to the plate at the end of the game where everybody's cheering Javi, Javi, like he made the point, like last year, the only thing he heard was boos. And what makes this to me so special is the track record that Javi has had with fan bases hasn't been great because, you know, and he comes here, doesn't perform, he gets booed, but he never complains.
No.
He never blames the fans. He never points at the fans. He never gestures to the fans. And we all know he's not trying to be bad. He's actually doing what he can to be better. This year, we get a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, in the sixth inning, and I'm glad you brought this up because it's my favorite moment as well, but I'm going to add a little bit more because the Tigers score two runs. And you feel like, hey, the rally is on. And it's rally caps. It's turn your shirt inside out, your hat inside out, whatever you're doing to keep this rally going. And then Zach McKinstry gets picked off.
Yep.
And then Dylan Dingler strikes out. Now all of a sudden there's two outs and you're thinking, oh, this rally just didn't last long enough. It is dead. And then Perez gets on base. Mm-hmm. And then Javi clears the bases with the home run. To me, that was, it's not just that moment, but it's everything that, whether it's this season, his tenure in Detroit, it's just that inning that leads up to that moment.
248-539-9797. You mentioned the boos and Javi in the history. He had a great response yesterday after the game on the boos. He said, "The boos, I don't mind that. I've heard boos my entire career. I feel like that's the desire of the fans to see us have success. You got to let fans be fans. We won the game. That's what really matters."
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy who's been around the block and knows, hey, that comes from a place of the fans have a standard. They want more. They're passionate. Nobody's going to boo you if they don't care.
Well, and as a player too, right? Once you sign a monster contract, right? To whom much is given, much is expected. And he knows it. He is more aware than anyone else that he was underperforming his contract.
Mm-hmm. And now he's performing. He's delivering. He's hitting .340 in the playoffs. The fans have his back. They're chanting his name. Everybody's pumped right now. And he was a huge catalyst, not only in this game, but in this postseason. John, my other big takeaway was the Tigers have had struggles offensively for a month, and we've talked a lot about it. Their two highest scoring games in the last 4 weeks, days where they were facing elimination. Yep.
Game three, game four.
Game three, where they had to win to keep the season alive against Cleveland. Game four, where they'd be eliminated if they didn't show up. And they were trailing. They were down. Fans were booing yesterday. But backs against the wall, the Tigers have found a way both times to keep their season alive. And they'll have to do it one more time on Friday in Seattle. But you're going to send Scooble to the mound. And it's not an auto win. We saw that in game two. But there's nobody you'd rather go to war with than Tarik Skubal, especially the way he's pitched in this postseason. So while the Tigers certainly don't make it easy on themselves or their fans, you can't count out Detroit. Backs against the wall, two different elimination spots. They've had their best offensive outbursts.
And what did we say yesterday about this torturous team? That they were going to win yesterday, and then we're going to wake up this morning and look onto the horizon. We'll look to the west, and we'll talk about a Tarik Skubal start.
That's right.
In game five, the deciding game of the series, we are sending the best pitcher in the American League to the mound.
Open lines, 248-539-9797. You got a favorite moment from that game, and then clearly we're going to get into the outlook of what this does, mm-hmm. setting up a game five and what it means for the season. Because, John, for the second year in a row, they will have made it to game five of the ALDS. Right back to it.
Let's see if they're any better.
Let's get to Bob in Chesterfield. Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love your show. Listen to you every morning. I called in yesterday. Talking about me and my dad sitting in center field out at Tiger Stadium. And I went to the game the other night. It was Dennis Adorno. Last night was like a morgue in the first 3-4 innings. But I'll tell you what, the energy in that place from the time we scored the first run to the end, it was unbelievable. It wasn't a full house, but you would have thought it was. Go Tigers.
Yeah, I think it was 37,000. It's the first non-playoff sellout in
right.
history. But to his point, we said yesterday, give this crowd a reason. They aren't showing up to the ballpark to be quiet.
Right.
They're not spending their hard-earned money to sit on their hands and be sad and mope. Give them a reason. And that third inning, it was a bit of a rally. It wasn't one big swing, and you could feel it start to build. And then the Riley Green home run to take the lead blew the top off the place.
It did. And it's... I wasn't there. I was obviously listening on the radio, watching at home at different times. And it was, for those that I talked to that were there, said that as soon as the Tigers started to hitting, it was the most bonkers atmosphere that they had ever experienced.
Got those towels whipping.
Yeah. And just, I mean, and now all of a sudden everybody's thinking, gosh, I wish I would have been there. Like all those people who said, who maybe they had tickets, didn't end up going because of the doldrums that came out of game three.
Yeah, but like you said it towards the end of our show, like especially as the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it's a beautiful day. Yeah. Season's not over.
The closer you get to game time, now all of a sudden everybody, the players have to obviously had to flip that switch earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. But our 4 hours yesterday were not a positive 4 hours. And when Doug came on, he was talking about how frustrated that like there's something wrong with this team. But then you could feel all around the city as the game got closer that, hey, it's a new day. It's a new game. This is why we play the game. You don't just look at it and say, hey, no, it's on paper. We can't. There's no chance the Tigers have.
But it's funny because that's kind of what we, yesterday is our show. We had obviously people with a sour taste in their mouth and very fed up. We had jam phone lines all day, people feeling very disappointed in their baseball team. But we kept reminding people it wasn't over, even if you wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Like this team was still going to have a shot. And John, the formula was win and get the Scooble in game five.
Yeah.
And the crowd came alive. The team came alive. The bats showed up. Big question on the ticket text. Did they let the Tigers hang around just long enough to get hot?
Ha, yeah. And I really want to know. We shared our favorite moment yesterday, especially if you were there. But if you were watching on TV, if you're listening on the radio, what was the moment that triggered you? What was your favorite moment of that game? Or maybe your favorite performance of that game?
Yeah, the Javi home run is the moment I thought they were winning the game.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was still going to be a nail biter. He busted that thing open, and of course it was Javi. Mm-hmm. No shortage of plays to choose from. It's 97-1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, Abraham & Rose has successfully specialized in resolving all types of tax problems for over 30 years. That's three decades. That their extensive experience means that when you're facing an IRS collection or audit, you can rely on their law firm. Many law firms come and go, but for 30 years of experience, it's a testament to their success. Their experienced team is ready to evaluate any underlying federal or state income taxes or payroll taxes. All you have to do is visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Dickerson on the call. What a moment for Javi Baez. What a moment for the Tigers, who scored 9 runs back against the wall situation. Advance to game 5 back in Seattle. And the pitching matchup will be Tarek Skubal and George Kirby. It's brought to you by Old National Bank. John, you asked people for their favorite moment from that game, and there are no shortages of moments to choose from.
No, there are not.
You and I love the Javi moment. You can shout out Riley Green if you'd like, and I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder. Let's go to the phones. Marcus in East Point, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Good morning, good morning. Man, that game was electric. I wanted to go. I went Tuesday. I was one of those boring fans that left early. So I have to admit it. But after sitting in a 3-hour rain delay, it was kind of hard to watch them get beat up all like that. But my favorite moment of the game yesterday was watching Melton just pour through that lineup. That dude was on fire. 98-99 just about every pitch. And he just ran right through him.
He may have even hit 100 on that last pitch. He's been good the entire postseason.
I think he may have earned a start if we end up with an opener, if we go to the next series, when we go to the next series.
There you go. I saw this ticket text that wanted to know if we can start calling him Detroit Melton. Mark in Belleville.
Yeah, I mean, the job that he did. I mean, the first batter he faces, Eugenio Suarez. Mm-hmm. And then in his second two innings, 3 up, 3 down. He did everything that you needed him to do to get you to vest. And I thought that there was a slight chance that maybe he would go into the ninth. Maybe that was more hopeful just because I wanted to see him finish it off because he had pitched so well. I understand 100% why they went to vest, and it's, hey, he's been down for a couple of days.
Don't mess around. Yeah. Just shut the door.
Yeah. But he was slamming it shut.
Melton gave the offense a chance to wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think yesterday's key moment was Dan Wilson going too long with Miller. I don't think he should have ever saw the fifth inning. And I think he gifted the Tigers. He's horrible second time around in the lineup. And I just think it was a, he was trying to get cute. You know, and AJ made the change early. And there were people out there critical. Stoney was last night on the post game of pulling Mice too early. But guess what? Their manager left their pitcher in too long. He made a critical error and it gave the Tigers a chance. My moment, Riley Green. I called him out yesterday. I said, it's time for your best player to be your best player.
Right.
And that was the breaking the tie. And I think it opened the floodgates. And look, Javi was fun. There's so many moments. Look, but Riley Green has to be good if you're going to advance.
No doubt about it. The only reason I didn't pick that moment is just a 4-3 game was still a little too...
A little too close for comfort.
Too close for comfort. It's a good way to put it.
He kept the engine going offense. The carryover. I thought they left a little on the table in the fifth.
Yep.
And I was concerned about the Mariners coming right back and scoring. The Tigers have been known to do that lately in this slump. They'll score and the other team will come right back the next inning.
It's funny you mentioned like people not liking pulling Mize sitting around fans. Like that was the consensus. What are they doing? Why is he out of the game? Why did we blink first? He was pitching so well. He had 6 strikeouts. And the game, I mean, the crowd, we talked about it the night before. When they get down 0-3, that crowd was the same crowd. A very sad, angry, frustrated crowd. Yeah. But we said, hey, these are Tiger fans, man. They just want to believe in their team, and they want to be given a reason to believe in their team. And that third inning, brick by brick, at bat by at bat, Riley busts it open. Javi takes it to another level. That ballpark, that's what playoff baseball can look like in Detroit. Give them a reason, and the crowd will deliver.
And with Mize coming out and then Holton going in and not even being able to get it out, like it made that decision look in the moment even worse.
Well, and then you have to use Finnegan in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. No. But I mean, AJ knew he had Troy Melton right there.
Apparently. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Rob. You're on 97.1.
Morning, boys.
How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
On this beautiful Thursday in Cocoa Beach, Florida, I listen to you guys on the iHeartRadio app. First off, I just want to say, John, you are two of my nephew's favorite people, by the way.
Thank you.
They took pictures with you in Washington, D.C. when you guys were playing Maryland a couple years ago. And my cousins are 15-0 when seeing Michigan live in person. But anyway, that's besides the point. Yesterday's game. When Javi had that foul ball, I knew within that game he was going to tear into one, and sure enough, he did. And if Skubal wants to go down in Tigers lore as one of their greatest pitchers, he's going to have to channel that inner Verlander in him and come through in that game 5, which he will. He will exorcise the demons, and off to the ALCS we go.
Thanks, Rob, and tell your nephews I said hello. But when you think about the position and about Justin Verlander, everyone that pitches for the Tigers is always going to be compared to him. And then you think about what Skubal has done this year against the team. And we hear it every time that he pitches in Seattle, right? Oh, yeah, he went to the University of Seattle and, you know, all this stuff about, hey, he's paid for the baseball team to be here and see him play. But he's 0-3. If you can conquer those moments as well as send your team one step further than they were last year, get to the ALCS, I mean, yeah, there is a legend that is growing.
This is a lot of ways the opposite of last year, right? Hot finish at the end of the regular season. This year, cold finish. Last year, the Tigers won game 3 and were up 2-1 before losing the last 2.
So this is the opposite year?
Is the shoe on the other foot. And for Skubal, it's a chance to right a wrong. Like in his mind, they talked about it. He's gone back and watched game 5 of last year's ALDS a lot. He's used it as motivation. Now life has given him a second chance.
A do-over
in his hometown. Like, it is storybook. You talk about lore. He's got a chance to etch one of the great moments in baseball on Friday night.
The lesson learned better be that you don't think you can overpower respectable hitters.
The lesson is don't give up a grand slam. Yes.
Well, no, he throwing 99 down the middle trying to beat Lane Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah. I still think that doesn't happen last year if he doesn't hit Ramirez.
Sure.
Ticket text. Guys, if you're Seattle, think about it from their perspective. Aren't you feeling like you just blew it? You had a 3-0 lead against a team that can't hit, and they wake up to score 9 runs. Now you face their best pitcher, knowing all the pressure is on you. You could blow it at home in front of your fans where you've blown it for years. Boy, I like being on the other side of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Todd Mount Clemens says, in my 54 years, I've been to a few hundred baseball games, 8 different stadiums. Yesterday was the craziest atmosphere in a great way that I've ever experienced at a baseball game. Goosebumps, and I hope I have the privilege of having that same feeling in the ALCS. Go Tigers!
Obviously, there's pressure on both teams, okay? There's way more pressure on Seattle right now. The history of this organization is to lose this game.
Yep.
And they're feeling it, and they're going to hear it, and you get an extra day to hear it.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, the pressure is that they haven't done it. They've come up short and small so many times in this moment. They're at home. They were a team, and we talked about it yesterday with, looking at the Eugenio Suarez home run and Cal Raleigh going yard and, you know, all of these different moments. They were the team that went basically all in.
Yep.
And so the pressure is 100% all on them.
Especially the deeper it gets in the game, in a low-scoring game where Skubal is dominating. That's the path to victory, right?
Absolutely is. Let's get to Raymond. You're on 97.1. What's going on?
Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning. I really hate to be this guy. I really, really hate to be this guy.
Don't.
I don't want to be, but the Tigers are fool's gold. I mean, for like 50% of that game yesterday, they were who I thought they were, a team that couldn't hit, a team that would, you know, give up the timely pitches, and Seattle jumped out to a 3-0 lead. I mean, for really 2.5 games of the series, the Tigers couldn't really hit, and then they found their stroke yesterday. I'm very happy. And the Tigers have just been on this roller coaster of a series between, you know, the Cleveland series and the Seattle series. And at this point, I just want them to either win the whole thing or just go away. They are a lovable cockroach. I don't know what to feel, whether I'm happy, sad, mad. And I'm
That's
sure
the beauty of sports.
I know it is.
Raymond, I don't know. I mean, you must be real fun at a party. You think that this is all fool's gold and we shouldn't believe what we saw for, you know, half of that game yesterday?
Well, I just think that the Tigers, because of the whole reason that they, you know, dropped the 15.5 game lead to Cleveland, you know, I really felt like they needed to get to the ALCS to even be able to say that the season was a success.
And they're one win away.
Doing that.
Yeah, they're one win away, and they're sending Skubal to the mound.
And the Mariners can just buy their time until Skubal gets out of the game in the 7th, 8th inning, you know, and they can easily put up some runs once they get to our bullpen.
I mean, come on. You want to send Skubal to the mound, and if you can give him even a modest amount of run support.
I don't think there's many people that love Raymond this morning.
No.
Everyone loves Raymond, John.
Bum, bum, bum. Ticket text.
Jokes for one.
I can't wait till game 6 of the ALCS when we're complaining they still can't hit. What a ride, Josh and Warren. Yep. The key to the victory yesterday was the Tigers only struck out 3 times. Amazing what happens when you get the ball in play, signed Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Hinch was proactive. Wilson was reactive. That kind of managing decided the game. We'll get more Tiger phone calls in the mix. It's 97.1.
Hey, Detroit, it's Heather here with some big news. America's Best 5G Networks wants you to bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill, and they'll give you a better deal. If you think Verizon is expensive, well, think again. Not only does Verizon let you lock in your low price for 3 years, everyone in the family can mix and match their plan with My Plan, and they let everyone get the same great phone deals when they trade in an eligible phone in any condition on My Plan. That means new and existing customers. That's more reasons to save, more reasons to switch. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Detroit Verizon store, and they'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score report dated first half 2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid customer mobile bill. dated within the last 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person redeeming the deal. 3-year price lock applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply to promotional offers.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What a call by Dan Dickerson. What a hit. I think it just landed from Riley Green.
Yeah, what did they say? That was that his is either his longest or second longest home run of the year.
I think it's like 450 feet.
Yeah.
And it was a moonshot. Yeah. Gave the Tigers the lead. Gave the crowd a reason, right? Yep. Crowd starting to come alive when they tied it up the previous inning.
Everyone but Raymond.
But that's what we talked about yesterday. For as much as yesterday's show was about, hey, the morgue and the fact that the fans had shown up and had nothing to cheer for, the team gave them a reason, and that ballpark was rocking.
But that's why sports are so entertaining. They're so painful. And this team is the definition of a torturous watch where, hey, the beginning of, like, I'm not going to go through chronologically what we've all been through as a fan base, but it all culminated yesterday with the team giving themselves a chance to move on to the ALCS.
John, two very different ticket texts I want to read to you. And in the spirit of this week, the duality of man, if you will.
Yes.
How people react to this stuff. You're right, the emotional roller coaster. First text. Guys, no way we lose this game. We're prepared for this and Scooble is hungry. Very next ticket text. We've been here before. I fully expect them to break our heart. The duality of man.
Yep.
Let's get to Aaron in Detroit. Aaron, what's up? You're on 97.1.
How you doing, guys? First, I want to apologize for my voice, man. That game was electric yesterday, bro. Electric. I'm a season ticket holder for Michigan, so I've seen a few Ohio State Michigan games, a few playoff. I saw Mags hit that game 4 home run in 06. Nothing like yesterday, bro. And it was not even that packed. It was kind of empty a little bit, and the way the game was going, it was dead. People were complaining, but that the thing that changed the game for me was that double play in the fourth inning. We were down 2-0. They were bases loaded, no outs for Seattle, and they hit into a double play. They end up scoring one run that inning, and kept it to 3-0, and kept us. I just knew at that point we had a chance to win this game, man, because everyone felt like that was going to be the point where they blew the game open, and it was over. But like I said, we got the double play, they scored one run, we gave up one run, kept it to 3-0, and ended up coming back, man, and winning the game. Like I said, best atmosphere I've ever been around for Detroit sports, man. Awesome. Electric.
So I'm guessing at 3 o'clock yesterday you didn't sound like this, but by 8 o'clock last night you did.
Heck no, man. Heck no, yeah. But by about 5 o'clock, man, it was over.
Aaron, I love the phone call and I love the moment because it is one of those moments that'll get lost in that game.
Yeah.
Finnegan's in the fourth. Bases are loaded. This is kind of the game. I mean, if he gives
no one out.
Right. And the Tigers can't score any runs. So if this ends up being.
And the all powerful deep lineup that the Seattle Mariners have was ready to take charge.
If that's 5-6-7-0 and you're staring down a long day with your bullpen.
Yeah.
But Finnegan limits the damage, keeps him in the fight. Let's get to Kenny in Milford. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's good.
Up? Morning listener on the way to work. Sorry, guys, but Heather's my favorite. Hey, following up on the prior caller, my favorite moment was how this all got started. Think about it. Torkelson hits that high bounder down the third baseline. Goes right over the bag. The umpire calls it fair. That set up the whole thing. And if you think about it, it's not reviewable. It was so entertaining that the Seattle pitcher, I forget who the heck was in at that point, starts putting his hands on his ears, challenge it. You can't challenge that call. I mean, it is 10 feet over the bag in the air. The umpire calls it fair. He could have called it foul. And we couldn't have argued. because it looked so close. It looked fair to me because I'm a homer. But that started the whole thing, and I want to look up that umpire's name when I get back from work today. I want to know who he is and how his calls have been, because that was a great call. I mean, but it could have gone the other way, and where would we be?
Right, and Kenny,
that was my favorite part. Well,
I know there were some at the stadium that maybe didn't see the replay, or maybe didn't have the ability to see the replay. I don't know what they showed on the scoreboard, but at home, I got to appreciate the umpire for hustling to be in the position to make that call. If you watched it and they showed it from, you know, down the foul pole, he was at getting into position so that he could determine, did that ball go over the base at all, or was it out? And to your point, if he had called it out, I don't know that we wouldn't have been able to challenge it, obviously, but I don't know we could have argued it, because he put himself in position to make that call, and I got to appreciate that.
Yeah, it's one of the true judgment calls that I don't think will ever be challengeable from a laser, because you're going to have a camera from the sky.
Right, yeah, and the drone footage.
Anyway, yeah. That was my favorite point. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Kenny, it's a good call, because it kind of combines, like Tom talked about, they left Miller in for the fifth. Well, Torque's the first batter of the fifth, another chance to hit him.
Yeah.
Miller not as good the second time through. And it opens the door. Then you get the Dingler double, the Jamai Jones pinch hit double. Yeah.
There were so many things in that game, because even like when I woke up this morning, I wasn't even thinking about that Torque fair ball.
No, me neither.
But you bring it up and you're like, yeah, that was a key moment in the game.
It's Thursday. We'll do the Thursday touchdown first. Heather with the news.
Well, more than 3 years after getting fired for peeing in a drain at work, former Detroit Red Wings Zamboni driver Al Sobotka is heading to trial this week.
Oh.
So the goal is to convince a jury that he was wrongfully terminated from his job that he had for more than 50 seasons. He's suing Olympia Entertainment, alleging that he got let go because of his age. Uh-huh. They thought he was too old, and he alleges that they're just using this whole peeing incident as an excuse to get rid of him. So the challenge is going to be, obviously, convincing the jury that that's why he was let go, and not because he actually peed in a drain, which somebody caught him doing and reported him to HR. Now, he did say that he peed in this drain because he has a prostate issue, couldn't hold it, and that's what went down. So we'll see what happens during this trial. It will be interesting.
There's not many Zamboni drivers that are legends like him. So hope the best for him.
Yep. A Northern Michigan woman woke up to quite a surprise on Saturday morning. She found a pantsless man in her home. Now, this intruder broken, pooped in a trash can, you guys, and then smeared said poop all over her furniture.
Hmm.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
We don't know why, but
so
that is what
happened.
So
was it just the cleaning process that he was trying to wipe his hand off, or was it, did he actually dig into the can to get
Those are questions more. I don't really want to know the answers to.
I don't want her to answer.
Either or is disgusting.
Yes, I know.
This man allegedly spent more than 4 hours in this woman's home before being caught.
Wow.
She woke up at 7 a.m. Whoop, there he was. He ran off, was later arrested, and will be facing charges.
Yeah. Well, he spent a lot of time on the can.
They didn't explain what else he was doing in there, or he just had a lot of problems.
All right, then.
Southgate police are investigating after a bullet was found in a high school's classroom on Wednesday. Authorities said that they were called right around 6:40 a.m. to Anderson High School by a staff member. They said the bullet was found in the school's ROTC room. A student had turned it in to administrators. The school was searched. Investigators did determine that there was no threat to any of the students, any of the staff, but it is still unclear how that bullet ended up inside the school. So they are still investigating. Mm. Well, you guys, it didn't take long for that truck driver who was seriously injured in that fight with Mark Sanchez to file a lawsuit against the former quarterback. So this lawsuit was filed on Monday, seeking an unspecified amount in actual and punitive damages, as well as attorney fees. And in this lawsuit, it accuses Sanchez of instigating the fight, which it sounds like he did, according to all these surveillance videos that are supporting this man's story, which led to severe permanent disfigurement, loss of function, and other injuries and emotional distress.
Sure. I mean, you had to know this was coming. It seems pretty quick.
It was very quick. But I'm guessing there was people calling him up saying, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
We'll help you out.
Yeah. Do you know who did this to you?
Yeah. If you've been on the dating scene, but you're finding that you're still single, it could be because you're zip coding. Zip coding is this new dating trend that involves dating only people within a particular zip code. So maybe if you're on the dating apps, you're setting your like the radius too tight. You're not dating outside of a certain area. Or they say it could be that you date somebody exclusively while that person is in your area, but then you kind of consider yourself single when that person is outside of your zip code. Particularly, they're saying college students tend to do that. While we're here together at school, we're an item. But when I leave and go back home and you're no longer in my zip code, I'm going to start dating other people. And then you find yourself single when you get back,
to your zip code.
Yeah. So that could be it.
That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Thursday touchdown, Red River rivalry. Is Jared Goff the best quarterback in the NFC? That and more. It's 97.1.
Hey, every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel, because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each and every week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you're going to win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in is required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Been talking a lot of Tigers. It is still football season, and it's the Thursday touchdown.
All right, guys. There's this sport, remember, called college football that we never talk about anymore because we have this baseball team and this NFL team that are just electric right now.
I know.
So let's spend a little time on college football. Michigan plays at USC, 7:30 Saturday night. Does Michigan have to win this game to keep their playoff hopes alive?
It's their best path. There's no question about it. Can you go on the road? Can you go to the West Coast and beat a team like USC? Now, nobody's looking at USC going, they're world beaters, but the rest of their schedule, Washington, Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland, nothing is going to say, ah, that's a great win. If they were to lose this one, it's a must win against Ohio State. If they win this one, it may still be a must win. We'll know more when we get there, but at 10-2, they're probably still in the playoffs.
Yeah, I said, no, they don't have to win this game, but it makes Ohio State a must win. Same answer.
Yeah, and you know what? Beat Ohio State after last year, they can beat them any year. I just, it's the most inexplicable win over them ever for me. All right, some Michigan State fans want Jonathan Smith gone. The problem is he has a $33 million buyout. Do you think the Spartans are trapped by Smith's contract?
No, their new athletic director is a big fundraiser. You want to be a big boy in college athletics? Spend the money. The revenue's coming in.
Is the revenue coming in? That's the question. And yeah, you know, okay, that's
record
his reputation.
TV deal and a big time fundraiser. Yeah, better be.
Yeah, but you're also got that $20 million that you're spending on all of your athletes, and a large part of that goes to the football team.
All the money on those athletes if they have the wrong coach?
Right, but a $33 million to buy out, and the Spartan fans better hope that he doesn't win seven games this year or next year, because if he does, another year is automatically added to the end of his contract. Wow. If he wins seven games in any of the first 3 years, another year is added to his contract. So it just extends the buyout.
Great point, John. All right, the Red River Shootout is at 3:30 on Saturday. Is Texas versus Oklahoma the best college rivalry besides Michigan-Ohio State?
So I've talked to a few people that have played in both games. The one that I'm going to talk about and the Red River Shootout. Rivalry, whatever. The best rivalry behind Michigan-Ohio State, and I don't even think it's close, is Army-Navy. It has its own weekend. It is dedicated to it. If you haven't been there, I would understand you not knowing what it is or what it's about. Now, it needs a permanent home. It should be in Philadelphia. But this is the greatest rivalry outside of the game.
Iron Bowl. They don't have pro sports. They hate each other. It's the Iron Bowl. So many great moments, so many classics. It's the Iron Bowl. Now, I will shout out Red River. Best rivalry trophy. That golden cowboy hat.
Yeah. No, see, but
Texas-Oklahoma is bigger to me than the Iron Bowl. And I think the difference maker is that it's two teams that are connected state-wise. They're not in the same state.
Yeah.
And I always feel Auburn doesn't show up enough.
Oh, they show up more than I think people realize.
So the game that I saw, the Army-Navy game, I don't think I've ever seen two teams play as hard or as tough or as physical in that game. And you've got the entirety of both schools, student bodies. You've got the entirety of two of the armed services that are focused on this game. To me, there is nothing that compares.
All right, Jared Goff is off to a great start this season. He has the best passer rating in the NFL. Is Jared Goff the best quarterback in the NFC right now?
So there are four names I considered. Hurts was a guy we loved preseason, Super Bowl champion. Their offense has not got going. Baker Mayfield, four fourth quarter comebacks, considered him. But I'm going Matthew Stafford.
Oh,
leading the NFL in passing yards, leading the NFL in big time throws.
Yeah. Oh, I'm over the Goff hating. No, you're not.
Goff has five big time throws. Stafford has 14. He's the big arm, the big game, the big guy.
I will say this. So Stafford does lead the NFL in passing yardage.
Yes. Yes. But they also don't have the rushing attack. They don't have as many weapons. He's not handing the ball off to Sonic and Knuckles, so it's going to take away some of the numbers. Matthew Stafford is, I don't even think it's close, the best quarterback in the NFC right now, and he is clearly, clearly a top five, if not a top three quarterback in the NFL right now. You might even make an argument for top two.
All right. I will say this, just one exception to his weapons. I think Kyren Williams might be the most underrated player in the NFL right now. He is a very good running back.
He can't get first downs when you need it most.
He gets overlooked. And he had that fumble issue. All right. The Lions have a need at edge, and they have a bigger need at corner in my mind. Let's play a little fantasy GM. Would you rather have the Lions trade for Trey Hendrickson or Sauce Gardner? And before you answer, consider their contract implications. Could not be more different.
You are correct on the contract implications, but I would 100% try any way possible to get Sauce Gardner because he's so young, and it's not just about this year. Obviously, he would help him out this year. The Lions, as much as we argued the edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson, have been good in the pass rush. Good to great.
The price? Two firsts. It starts at two firsts, right?
Yeah.
And they gave him an extension, so it's like $30 million a year. It squeezes out somebody else down the road.
It
versus Hendrickson as a rental.
Yeah, probably giving up a second or a third this year only.
If you have Sauce Gardner, anybody that you have in the secondary is second to Sauce Gardner. The only guy on defense that would be as valuable as Sauce Gardner is obviously Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, you can never have enough pass rush. I would go with Trey Hendrickson. The idea is you can have the greatest cover corner in the world. There's still four other guys out on patterns. I can end the play if I hit the quarterback. Give me Hendrickson.
So John mentioned Hutchinson. He is tied for second with like four other guys in sacks at five. Will Hutch end up with the most sacks in the NFL? And if he does he win NFL Defensive Player of the Year?
The opposite of Steve Yzerman. Yes and yes. He will win Defensive Player of the Year and lead the league in sacks.
I agree. And if you lead the league in sacks, you're going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. Over the last 11 years, since 14, you've had six edges, three different defensive tackles, and all of those were one guy, Aaron Donald, and two corners. It's going to go to an edge guy more than likely. It's going to go to a defensive lineman. And if this offense continues to score at this pace, other offenses are going to be throwing the ball a ton to try and keep up.
Well, he would also win comeback player of the year as well. I mean, he's probably already won that as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah.
All right, finally, and I think this one is spicy. I'm a spicy garlic guy. There are several teams in the NFL that have a record of 3-2 or better. Who is the biggest fraud of the bunch?
That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Woo. Right now they're 3-1, and you can look at their division and say, oh, well, they're number one in the division, and they may actually win their division because Cincinnati is currently a dumpster fire. So is Baltimore. So is Cleveland. But there is nothing. It will be the same damn story. Pittsburgh makes the postseason, and they can't win a game. There is nothing. If they play good teams, they will lose, but they still may win their division. No, the Pittsburgh is not a real contender.
That's spicy, John. I think I'm buying the Steelers right now.
Okay.
So this is me going on the heels of the argument I had with this guy.
Hi. Okay, speaking of teams that win in the regular season but don't do anything in the playoffs, Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I had that.
They're 3-2. Their offensive line's in shambles. Even if J.J. McCarthy comes back, the schedule is brutal for them. He might be coming back to face some tough opponents, namely the Detroit Lions in Detroit. I'm going to say the Vikings.
You both picked two teams that played each other, and they're both above 500. That's kind of interesting in my mind.
Well, the question was...
I know. It is what it is.
Yeah, like above 500 teams. So we picked a team above 500.
We followed the rules. Oh, no. It's the Thursday Touchdown. Today's football coverage presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.